Morning. Good to see you. Happy Mother's Day. Going to read the scripture for us this morning, and today we're going to be in the book of Exodus, which is pretty easy to find. It's the second book in Genesis, Exodus chapter 2, and I'm going to read just the first 10 verses of Exodus chapter 2, and then we'll look at that portion of scripture just a little bit later on. So if you have your scriptures with you this morning, I'd encourage you to turn to Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to read from the NIV. Your version may be slightly different, but you can follow along quite well, I'm sure, in Exodus chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Just for a moment, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to just read one verse from Hebrews chapter 11, and you probably know already that Hebrews chapter 11 is sometimes called the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's a long listing of people who had exemplary faith, and they are listed there, obviously, for our encouragement and for our example. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, the parents of Moses are listed as heroes of the faith. Look what it says there in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So as you are well aware, Mother's Day always falls on a Sunday. That's just the way it's designed. It's a Sunday in May. And so while you know that, what you may not know is that Mother's Day can be a very tricky day if you're a pastor. And the reason for that is that, you know, if you have the responsibility for bringing a message on Mother's Day in church, there can be some problems with that. And, you know, some people might think, well, that's a no-brainer. It's Mother's Day. So, of course, you would speak about being a mother, or about what a blessing it is to have a godly mother or grandmother. After all, people would say, you know, just the fact that we are here on earth means that we've all had a mother, right? That's how it happens. So why wouldn't you want to speak about mothers on Mother's Day? And so you may be in that situation where you think that that's exactly right. We should be speaking about moms on Mother's Day. But for some of us, it's hard to realize, and sometimes it's hard to remember, that not everybody's experience, either with their mom or as a mom, has always been a positive experience, and it's easy to forget that. For some, motherhood came unexpectedly, and it wasn't when you thought it was going to happen, and that caused a lot of things to happen in your life, and sometimes those things can trigger not so good memories, and hopefully those memories will be better in the future. For some, motherhood isn't even possible, and dealing just with the aches and pains that that brings, you know, that desire to be a mom, and yet it's not possible. It can be hard. It can be disappointing. For some, you know, our own mothers weren't really all that nice, and we didn't have a great relationship with our mom, and it hurts when Mother's Day rolls around. And for others, Mother's Day has brought heartaches and disappointment and difficulty. And there's these feelings sometimes of inadequacy and maybe even failure. You know, I've not done my best as a mother. And we forget, as we're reminded today in a very real way, that for some people, they've lost their moms just very recently as 7 hours ago, right? So Mother's Day, sometimes it's hard for pastors to decide whether or not you're going to speak about mothers on Mother's Day. And so this morning, it's certainly not my intention to in any way upset anyone or to conjure up bad memories for anyone or to cause anyone to be sad. That's not why I'm here this morning. It would be terrible if I was, right? It's only my intention this morning to honor those moms that are among us today and to challenge all of us to have faith as we live from day to day, because we're going to look at the life of a mom who was exemplary in her faith. And so I'm not sure what your experience is when it comes to either being a mom or having a relationship with your mom, but I think there's a lot that we can learn from the scriptures. And so this morning, as we look at the faith of one mom in the Bible, I hope that there are lessons that we can not only learn right here, but that we can apply to our lives as well. And so, though you may not know her name, because I didn't, I have to admit, I didn't know this woman's name, the faith of this woman that we're going to look at this morning was so great that she made it to that hall of fame of faith, so to speak, in Hebrews chapter 11, where all the greats of the faith are listed. Look what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 says. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And so Moses' mom, whose name was Jochebed, I didn't know her name. Doesn't say it in Hebrews, it doesn't say it in Exodus, but there is an obscure reference somewhere in I'll have to look that up. I thought I had written it down. But there is an obscure reference in Numbers. It's the book of Numbers in Numbers 11. So Moses' mom, whose name was Jochebed, is commended for her faith along with other people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. So you know that she had some incredible faith. Otherwise, if you don't have faith as great as these other people, you don't get mentioned in their company, do you? And so I want to refresh your memory a little bit about the history of the Jews in Egypt. You may remember, maybe you don't, but that the 12 tribes of Israel had moved into Egypt because there had been a terrible drought and a terrible famine in that part of the world. The Lord used a man named Joseph, right, to save all of Israel after his jealous brothers had tried to do him wrong. They had sold him into slavery, but God used those circumstances that seemed to be bad, he used those circumstances for good. And it was actually Joseph that he used to save all of Israel from that famine and from that drought. And so through a series of very unlikely events that were all potentially providentially guided by the hand of God, Joseph became what we would call the prime minister of Egypt. And because he held that position, he was able to provide grain. He was able to provide food for his brothers when they and their families had none. Very providential, the hand of God in this whole thing. And so at the time of the birth of Moses that we read about, the Israelites had been in Egypt for about 400 years. That's a long time. They had been there for 400 years. And during that time, during their stay in Egypt, they had prospered in that land, and they had grown, and their influence in that land had grown. But eventually they became a perceived threat to the Pharaoh, who was the king in Egypt. And so Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us that the new Pharaoh that was in Egypt at the time didn't know Joseph. He had been too far back. He didn't know about Joseph. He didn't know him. He didn't know the influence that he had. And so consequently, he had no regard for the people who were Joseph's people. He didn't know Joseph, so he didn't care about Joseph's people. He saw the Jews as a threat because they had become so numerous and so prosperous that somehow he thought that they were going to either take over or influence Egypt in a direction that he didn't want the country to go. And so what he did was, in order to keep those Jews oppressed and pushed down, he forced them to become slaves. That's when Moses sort of comes on the scene. It was Pharaoh's intention to break any national spirit that the Jews had in Egypt, to keep them oppressed so that they wouldn't become more influential in that country, right? But they continued to grow, and they continued to prosper in spite of the terrible circumstances of slavery that they were in. So because they continued to grow and because they continued to prosper, Pharaoh decided to make it even harder on the Jews and to oppress them even more, to break their spirit even worse. So what the Pharaoh commanded that the Jewish midwives should do was that they should kill all of the male children that were born to the Jews. You want to control the population? It's a good way to do it. And so he made this edict, he made this command that said that all of the Jewish babies that were born, especially the males, should be thrown into the Nile River and drowned. How's that sound? That's barbaric, isn't it? But that was the plan of the Pharaoh. That was the evil plan of the current Pharaoh. I don't know if you can think about that long enough to even imagine living in that kind of fear, especially for those of you who are perhaps young mothers today. And you realize the influence that you're having this child has had on you. Can you imagine the thought of your newborn child being taken away from you immediately and then thrown into a nearby river to be drowned? Think about that for a second, right? But it was Jochebed's faith, Moses' mom's faith, in the midst of this horrific set of circumstances that got her mentioned, along with her husband, in this Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. In that very dangerous world that she found herself living in at that time, Jochebed stands out because of what she did to save her child. And then, when she could do no more, she trusted completely in the faithfulness of God. And so indeed, Jochebed was a model of faith this morning. And first of all, I think we could say that Jochebed's faith was courageous. Why was her faith courageous? I think her faith was very courageous because she knew what the king's command was regarding the Jewish male children. She knew what was supposed to happen to any male child that was born to a Jewish woman at the time. There was no question at all. She didn't have to wonder, well, I wonder if this applies to me. I wonder if this week is No, there was no wondering about that. She knew exactly what was supposed to happen. Look at what the first two verses of Exodus 2 say. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. In spite of what the king had said, Jochebed, and her husband isn't even mentioned as a co-conspirator, so to speak, in this plan, in the Exodus passage here. But he is mentioned as the father, so obviously, they were in this together. But Jochebed hid her son for 3 months. Now, I want to tell you, that takes courage, trying to hide a newborn baby for 3 months. When our oldest daughter, Katie, was born, I was 25 years old, and my wife, Beth, was 24. And I think at Grandview Hospital up there in Perkasie or Quakertown or wherever it is, when we brought her home, we were hoping that somewhere tucked into the information that they had given us was an owner's manual. And sorry to say that it wasn't in there. Because we were hoping to have some idea of what to do with this new person that was now ours in many different ways. And so we were brand new to this parenting thing, as you were. You know, we were all rookies at one time in this parenting adventure, and we didn't know what to do. And I say this because I don't think we could have ever hidden our child, even if we tried. Because you know this, when she was hungry, what'd she do? Cried. That's exactly right. When her diaper was needed changing, she cried. When her ear hurt, she cried. When she was tired, she cried. When she woke up, she cried. You know, but here was Jochebed making an active decision to do something that quite honestly was very risky. There would be dire consequences, I'm sure, had her plan been exposed, and I'm sure that they would not have been good consequences to this plan. It was very risky, and it had to be very difficult to do. I don't know what the consequences would have been if her plans had been uncovered, but I'm sure it probably wouldn't have been good. The child certainly would have died, and I don't know what would have happened to her and her husband. You see, sometimes I think we have this idea that faith is simply some kind of a passive thing, that we just sit around and wait for things to happen. Just wait on God. Just let go and let God, as the saying goes. Just let things unfold. Trust God to take care of you. But that was not Jochebed's attitude at all. See, Jochebed had courage, and she took a risk, not even knowing what the outcome would be. And I think of some of the moms that I know who have done similar things. Maybe not the exact same thing, because those were very unique situations, right? But I think of some of the moms that I know who have done the same sort of things. I think of some moms, like my own sister, who wasn't able to have children of her own, but took that as an opportunity to adopt a child, to adopt two children, actually, who otherwise would have had to live, possibly would have had to live their lives in an orphanage for who knows how long, right? I think of some moms who are married to husbands who don't believe. They don't support those who do believe. Maybe they're even contentious or opposing those who do believe. And they feel like, those moms feel like they have to defy those husbands in order to expose their kids to the Word of God and to the gospel. I think of some moms who give up a very lucrative career. Say, no, it's more important to me to stay home with my kids than to make all the kinds of money that I know I could make, right? And everyone around them is saying, you are crazy for doing that. I think of some moms who stand up to a teenage son or daughter and say no, when all the other moms and dads are saying yes. What do you risk there? You risk what you perceive as the relationship with your son or daughter. I think of some stepmoms who love and care for their blended families as if they were their own. And that's not easy. And those of you who are in those situations and circumstances know the issues and the difficulties that those circumstances bring. It's risky stuff. Why are they able to do it? I think a lot of it has to do with their faith in God and His plan. That was certainly the case for Moses' mom, Jochebed. It's because of their desire to please God more than their desire to please man. They want to please God more than their friends, more than their children, more than their parents, maybe even, as hard as it is to say, more than their husbands. They trust God. They trust that as they are obedient to what God has called them to do in the face of risky circumstances, that God will take care of them and will take care of their children. It's exactly where the parents of Moses found themselves. They trust God and obey Him. Yeah, in all of this, we would have to say that Jochebed's faith was courageous. She took a risk knowing what the circumstances were and knowing what the outcome might have been. But it also, I think we have to say at the same time, that Jochebed's faith was also a sensible faith. It was sensible. Why was her faith not only courageous, but also sensible at the same time? Take a look at verses 3 and 4 of Exodus 2. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Apparently, after 3 months of trying to hide this baby boy, she could see the inevitable unfolding. She could see sort of the writing on the wall, as we say, and she probably realized that she wouldn't be able to hide this child forever, and that there were going to be some questions that were asked of her that she might not be able to answer in the not-too-distant future. And so she has a plan. And her plan is to make this little wicker basket. Probably got the plans from Joanne Sheriff, you know, and learned how to put it together. And she covered it with tar so that it would float. And she placed it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile River. And interestingly enough, the word that's used for basket, that's translated basket, she got a papyrus basket. That same word that is translated basket is also the same word that's translated for ark, the boat that Noah built, all the way back there in Genesis chapter 6. So both people, Noah and Moses, were placed in this container of sorts and were left really, what, to the mercy of the elements around them. Think about the unknown in that. Think about the risk that that Noah took as he built this tremendous boat, gathered all his people and put them in there and said, okay, here we go, not knowing what was going to happen. It was the same for Moses as his mom placed him in that basket and put him in a river that was known to be filled with crocodiles. And so we might be tempted to ask, how in the world can we say that this was a sensible thing for Jochebed to do, to put a helpless little baby boy in a wicker basket and put him in the river? Doesn't seem very sensible. It seems careless, if anything. But let's look at verses 5 and 6. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. So what happens? Jochebed didn't just, you know, I think sometimes I picture it, and she's got this basket, and she's like, you know, you know, there he goes. He hits, and down the river he goes. It's not like that at all. She didn't throw him out into the river. She had a plan. She placed him carefully along the bank. She placed him among the reeds, among the weeds that were growing there, knowing that he wouldn't be taken away by the current. She put him in a place that she knew was a place where women would congregate regularly. She didn't just throw him out into the river and hope that the, you know, bye Moses, I hope to see you again when you grow up, so have a nice life. It wasn't like that at all. She placed him carefully in a very carefully chosen, predetermined spot. She knew that the women congregated there. I don't think she was careless in this situation. I think she was clever, and I think she was sensible in our planning. Our modern day version of the story might be where parents would do what? They might drop their child off at a hospital, knowing that there would be someone there who would take that child in and who would care for them, right? In our day and age, some women may make the choice to give up their children for adoption. That's a wise and sensible plan. That choice is made for a variety of different reasons. But almost always the situation boils down to the fact that it's what that mother believes is what's best for the child in those particular circumstances. And that's exactly what Jochebed did. Jochebed did what she thought was best for her child in this particular situation. We have all had to make those decisions, haven't we, those of us who are parents. The story goes on in verses 7 and 8. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she said, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Jochebed had planned to have Moses' older sister stand at a distance as she did to see what would happen with the basket. And we know what happened. The basket was discovered just as she hoped that it would be. And we'd have to say that Jochebed's plan was falling perfectly into place. And so we're talking this morning about one mother's faith, and we see that Jochebed's faith was indeed courageous, defying the orders of the Pharaoh. But Jochebed's faith was also a sensible faith. God blessed that faith, didn't he? Look what it says in verses 9 and 10. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." And so as Moses was there floating among the reeds on the banks of the Nile River, at just the right time, not just anyone, but Pharaoh's daughter arrives at the river to bathe, it tells us. She was accompanied by her many attendants. And she sees the basket. She says, "Bring that basket over here to me." She opens it. She sees a baby crying in that basket. The scripture tells us that she had pity on that child because she recognized that it was one of the Jewish male child. And she knew what would happen to that child if the law was followed. And so at just the right moment, at God's moment, we would say, the sister of Moses, who had been watching from a distance, moved in. She knew this was her opportunity, and she moved in. And she said, "I see you got a little baby there. You may need someone to nurse that child. Would that be a good idea?" Of course it was. Well, guess what? Moses' sister happened to know someone in just the circumstances that they needed. And according to the customs of that time, that nurse that would nurse that baby would become the legal guardian of that child until the child was weaned. And so, of course, Miriam goes and gets Jochebed. He gets Moses' own mother to nurse the child. Do you see everything that's happened here? Not only is the child saved from certain death, not only does his own mother get to raise him, but now she gets paid to do it. Can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's God's hand in all of it. Could the hand of God be more clearly seen in the story? And think about the incredible irony of the story that, quite honestly, I had never recognized before, but saw as I was studying this passage just recently. How did Pharaoh plan to kill all the Jewish babies? By drowning them in the Nile River. And what exactly did God use to save Moses from certain death? The Nile River. How does that happen, right? It's got to be the hand of God. It's crazy. It's not coincidence. It's the hand of God in all of it. You could almost say that Jochebed followed Pharaoh's orders by putting him in the river, right? He didn't throw him in without a means of floating or whatever, but she followed the order in one sense. And because of God's orchestration of the events behind the scenes that no one at the time was seeing, Moses got all the advantages of being raised in the household of Pharaoh, where he learned things like law and mathematics and hieroglyphics and even how to wage war. He learned all these things as the privilege of living in the household of Pharaoh. Sometimes if you want to, there's a very interesting recap, very brief recap of this story in Acts chapter 7. You should read it. Acts chapter 7, verses 17 through 22. Sort of brings all these circumstances together. Very, very interesting to read. And because of all those incredible advantages that Moses had from being raised in the courts of the Pharaoh, forming in him into the man that he would one day become, God used Moses in a tremendous way. He used him to lead more than a million Israelites out of Egypt, right to the very doorstep of the promised land, of the place that would become their nation, their land. And so, this morning, I want to encourage you to look very closely at this passage. Reread it again for yourself when you have a chance. Read it carefully when you have the time. You'll not see even once the name of God mentioned in the entire passage. It's not there. It doesn't talk about God at all in the entire passage. And yet, we can say with incredible, unwavering confidence that God was definitely at work, can't we? There was no question about the fact that God was orchestrating the last detail of every single one of these events. We see a human element in here. We see Jochebed doing everything that she could for the welfare of her child. But she could have never arranged things and done things on her own. I think we all recognize that it was God who was ultimately writing the story of Moses' life, even from those very earliest days of his existence. Are there things that moms can do? Are there ways that moms can try to help their children, can try to influence their children and lead them in the right direction, in the Lord's direction? Absolutely. But ultimately, moms have to have the same attitude that Jochebed had as well. We have to be willing to do what we can do, but ultimately we have to be willing to say, Lord, this child is yours. He's in your hands. You are faithful. You can be trusted to do what I know is best for my child. I've done all that I can. Lord, this child is yours. And so, once again, I always feel the need to say that this is by no means a formula for parenting, right? We talked about this 2 weeks ago at our child dedication service, didn't we? Just because you do A, B, C, and D does not mean that E is going to be the result. I'm not saying that even if you do everything like Jochebed did in this story, that it will absolutely always have a good end result. But guess what? Children have a mind of their own, don't they? Children sometimes go their own way. They make their own decisions. They lead their own lives. But as much as we parents wish that we could make those decisions for them, we really can't. And when our kids go in a direction that we know is not best for them, it absolutely breaks our heart. And we wish we could change it and do it differently. Some of you have done an excellent job as parents, only to see a son or daughter go off on their own way. And it's hard not to beat yourself up over that, isn't it? It's very difficult. See, we don't deal with robots. We don't deal with pre-programmed droids or anything like that. We're dealing with real human beings who have a mind of their own and who ultimately have to live their own lives and answer to God for their own actions. And so, moms, I want to encourage you this morning, don't in any way allow Satan to get the upper hand in your life by somehow heaping guilt or blaming yourself for something that may not be your fault at all. I want to encourage you this morning to have faith. Have unwavering faith in God. And I trust that that faith will be a courageous faith. A faith that was willing to take risks for what's best for your children. But may that faith also be a very sensible faith. But we have to remember that our faith is not in ourselves. It's in God. Our trust is in God to accomplish not what we hope will happen with our kids. Our faith is to allow God to accomplish His purposes and not ours. And so our confidence is in the fact that He knows best and not us. So to all of you moms who are here today, what I want to say to each one of you is thank you so much for what you do. The video I thought was really good. We could stay up all night and think of all the things that our moms either do or have done for us and how much we love them and appreciate them. Thank you so much for what you do. I want to encourage you to trust God with that unwavering faith in Him that is both courageous but at the same time sensible. And to entrust your children to the one who is always at work behind the scenes. To the one who has not lost sight of you and your circumstances and your situation. To the one who will always work things together according for our good. To those of us who know Him and love Him. Who will be able to do immeasurably beyond more than all that we could ask or imagine according to His power that's at work in us. So yes, Mom, thank you for everything that you do. We love you. I hope you get spoiled today. May the Lord bless you as we move forward. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, it's hard for us to even imagine being in the circumstances that Jochebed was in. And yet we see the faith that she had. We pray, Lord, that we too would have that faith. Even when we can't see the way that you're working, we know that you are behind the scenes, Lord. So give us that faith. And yet, Father, you've entrusted us with the responsibility of raising our children. So may we do what we know is best by principles of wisdom found in your word. But we trust you, Lord. We thank you for our moms today. Thank you for the influence that they have had in our lives. And again, Lord, this morning, pray for those whose thoughts of Mother's Day might not be so pleasant, Lord, bless them with peace. May they find their hope and their strength in you this morning, I ask. Thank you for bringing us together this morning, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful time of worship. Thank you for the body of Christ and the brotherhood and sisterhood among believers, Lord. We thank you so much for that. Dismiss us, Lord, and as you do, we pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing and your protection and your care over our lives. And now may grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord bless you as you go. Give your mom a hug if she's here. Thank her for everything that she's done for you.